Hey everyone, this is Casey here. I just wanted to give you a quick update before part two began. I know that part one ended pretty abruptly, and a lot of you were quick to point that out for me, but I am a professional, so you know, I wanted to make sure I edited it perfectly, which I definitely didn't do. We literally recorded one long segue and chopped it in half. This episode is no different, but this one has a more tragic ending. We had about 45 minutes of the conversation that we lost, which is a bummer, so this one will also end a little abruptly, so I do apologize for that, but I think you guys are going to like this part of episode two. We will be recording more, so fear not, and we will not make the same mistakes that we made the first time we recorded this whole thing. So I hope you guys like the songs, hopefully you like the conversation, and thank you for listening. Good night!
It's Matt and Casey Super Show. It's Matt and Casey Super Show.
Huh?
Go.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that to me.
Hi, we're back talking about Bitcoins. What do you guys think about Bitcoins? Write us in.
Cool. Well, I know this is just about to go in a completely opposite direction. Not for long. I've never heard of Bitcoins. Mm-hmm. And I still don't quite get the whole point.
So what I grasp is that it's a legitimate form of online currency.
Okay.
That you can mine from websites. With special software. It takes a very long time. You can get them, I guess, and then they market value every day. It changes a lot. So now it's like $750 per Bitcoin. I don't know how it started. Shit. People used to buy drugs on like the deep web with Bitcoins, and you can only pay with Bitcoins. So I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I know the government's trying to shut it down. Like, you know something's good when the government's trying to shut it down.
Cool.
Right when it's getting good.
Well, and that's Bitcoins. So,
okay, well, next.
Let's steer away from video games because I could talk to you about that for a very long time.
Yeah.
I want to go back to music and bands specifically, not any, your band. Oh, like, what's going on with Astronoid? How's
it so a couple people, they know we're in bands, but they don't know anything really about it. So maybe we could take just a brief moment and just kind of explain.
Please.
Cool. So I'm in a number of bands. The one that's going right now is Astronoid. We are a shoegazy type metal band. It's different. It's cool though. Still heavy, mm-hmm. fast, melodic, almost all singing, which is kind of unique for what we do. So if you like that, check it out. We're mm-hmm. in the throes of finishing our first record right now.
How many songs?
We're closing in on 13 or 14, but we're going to trim it down, probably 11 or 12.
How long is an average song by you guys? At least 5.
Yeah. It's going to be an hour.
Holy shit.
Of solid music, which is going to be good.
That's amazing.
So, we're not playing a bunch of shows right now, but as the year goes on, this is kind of our focus right now, so we'll play shows. My other band, Hetfield and Hetfield, believe it or not, is actually going to release some music this year. In 2014, so a lot of people will be happy to know that. And there was talks of thinking about playing a show today. And I guess that's contingent on if old Greasy Fingers Singleton can grease up his PRS and fucking and do it. So stay tuned for that, I suppose. And I just constantly write songs. I have a couple now that I really like that, I don't know necessarily what I want to do with them. I think I want to do like a full band thing, but I don't know. So,
of your solo stuff,
mm-hmm. I don't think I want it to be like a solo thing because that felt weird for me. I still think I want like a band, even if it was me playing everything under a different name. I don't think that I would necessarily do mm-hmm. like the Casey Elward thing. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Cool,
but
I like that because I like music. That's, I can't really think of the word. Collaborative. Exactly. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thanks. I like
me too, and that's, that's the spirit of it. But I had this idea, so the other day I posted a video of, a couple of days ago I had a couple of guitar friends post videos on their wall, and they were playing it, whatever. I was like, oh, that's cool, because I get to see what they're doing. And because everyone lives so, like, far away and in different places, I was thinking like to myself, like, I know Facebook's like such a bad medium for so many things, but I was thinking that maybe somehow if we could do like a community of like people like that's like showing people what they're doing, like be it guitar riffs or like techniques or what they're working on, and then it could be this community where you can like critique it or you know, give people like tips or just general whatever you want to say. I thought that would be pretty cool, but it seems like a lot of undertaking, so I don't know. But I got some good feedback on something the other day, so.
Can you share it?
Yeah, it was just I posted a video of me playing like a certain technique.
I tried to annoyingly watch it loud at Megan's house last night while she was talking to her mother. Like, because we've already heard it, and I'm sure you've watched it, and it was awesome, of course, but I was watching it, like, loud, so her mom would go, oh, what's that? And then me be able to say something.
Who the fuck is being rude? You're just being rude to her poor mother.
Yeah, like, they're having, like, a nice, like, mother-daughter talk, yeah. And I'm like, boom, blam, blam, boom, blam, blam, boom, blam, and, like, cupping my hand.
Aladdin
music?
Shoom, doom, doom.
No, I'm really pumped about it, and the first Astronoid release that I think when there is like a metal record or something that comes out that my roommate likes, I'm like, all right, this fucking rules, because Al has a wide variety of taste in music. And I showed him Astronoid and he loved Astronoid. He couldn't get enough of it. He's like, this is amazing. And it's just like, I think the added fact, obviously, that I know you, Al knows you, and to know that it's you, obviously you collaboratively with other friends, but like we're going to accent, oh, that's Casey playing guitar and kicking ass, you know what I mean?
Thanks, Al. That EP is pretty much all Brett, so I had one riff on that record. So.
Was that the...
Yes.
Coolest part. Love you, Brett. The whole thing's awesome, but do you know what part I'm talking about? That like... And Matt St. Jean's killing it on the drums at that part,
that's
too.
Brett's playing the drums, too.
Whoa, shit. Well, Brett's all right at everything. <Yep. laughs> No, seriously, I love it. It sounds good. And to know that, it's funny, as I said, like, you sounded so good. In my head, I was like, shit, I think it was all Brett.
No, it rules.
It's amazing. I guess the best
It was something that he had started kind of in his dorm room just to explore kind of other musical landscapes, and then it caught some steam, so he decided... for whatever reason we didn't end Hetfield, but we definitely shifted our focus, so that's what we're doing right now. And the full length has been, you know, a lot more collaborative. I mean, Brett's still doing a bulk, like pretty much I would say 60-75% of the actual writing, just like, you know, coming with shells, and obviously he's the lead vocalist. I mean almost the whole fucking time, because he's like, yep, we gotta sing harmonies, and I'm like, okay. But it's nice. I get to bang my head and sing and just play guitar riffs. So ideally, I mean, it's nice.
Well, in contrast from Hetfield and Astronoid, I'm not saying like, well, I guess at this time in my life, because I know you guys play music for you, but hope it affects others in some way. Astronoid is what I want in my life right now out of those two. Like, and I'm so glad you're focusing on that, because Hetfield is awesome. And I remember when I was like to my brother, I was like, hey, Hetfield. bandcamp.com, check that out, that's my friend Casey, like, hear that guitar, it's awesome, blah blah blah, and I was showing it to him. But Astronoid, for me, knowing everyone in that band,
yep,
and hearing like metal and like something being like beautiful, like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No,
like,
that's definitely
like,
that was definitely the intent.
Like, I don't, sometimes when I listen
it sounds
to metal
weird,
I just want to, I don't care if it's the slowest, grossest, like, chuggy breakdown ever. Sometimes I just want to, like, hear something gross, because I'm like, oh, like, I'm angry. I want to hear something awesome. And sometimes when I'm driving home, I want to listen to the shit I like, which is a lot of metal, but I want to, like, feel calm. I don't want to feel like I'm, like, getting, like, all tense and shit. Like, yeah, that music makes me feel good, if that makes simple
sense. Makes perfect
sense.
It was a very deliberate move.
And
the fact
that there's almost no
harsh,
like,
vocals,
gutturals in, yep, there, like it feels so good, because Brett, with his vocals and then your harmonies, they just sound good. And I guess the coolest thing is watching you guys live play straight from, and hey, just so everyone knows, James Hill is here in the same room as
hey,
us.
James.
Hey,
he was the guest of our second podcast.
Yeah, so I know he can lend credence to the fact that you guys sound awesome live.
I think you get it. I mean, on record, it's cool because it's like it's easy to be that studio band with this band because there's like you can just do layer after layer after layer after layer.
Mm-hmm.
I think though, bringing it to a live setting, I don't want to say it represents the music better, but I like that you can get a different experience live than you can on record. And for me, all my favorite bands, like I've always been about the mindset that if you're going to see a band and you're expecting to hear the record, don't go to the show. Stay home and save your money because
mm-hmm.
I want to go to the show and see something like different. Now, I mean, that being said, I mean, it's not like we're like freeform jazz improvising up there, but
yeah, of course,
you know, we definitely stay close to the record, but I think there's an energy that's live that you don't get on the record.
And you can hear it. That's the thing. Like, obviously, you see it and it, like, gets us, like, excited and, like, bonered. But when, for some reason, I always think it's just in my head. And I don't know if it's, like, the fact that I used to, like, love Newfound Glory and Good Charlotte and go to their, like, headlining tours and go watch that. For some reason, I got, like, it was sloppier. I would go and watch it. I'm like, I'd rather stay home and listen because it sounds good here. But going to see you guys play or going to see Teenage Bottle Rocket or Protest the Hero and things like that, I know it's going to be better than listening on CD because it's tighter mm-hmm. most of the time unless they're deliberately being sloppy, which is fine and funny. But it's tighter and it's so powerful. When you guys played the, is it Lightspeed? Lightspeed, yeah. Which is like the best
we
goddamn
close
song.
That song.
Oh, man, that. Oh my god, my skin rips off of my bones and I'm just left like what's his name?
A skeleton
Marv
shaking
from Home Alone 2 when he touches the washing machine. So well, good
night.
No, dude, I think it's wicked cool and I look up to you guys in a lot of ways when it comes to that stuff. So
you shouldn't do that.
Oh, well.
You shouldn't really hold us in high regard.
Yeah, well, I've got time.
Seriously, if you guys played Lightspeed, like, 7 times in a row,
it'd
still be
fun.
So
James Hill wants
Astronaut Show, Lightspeed, 7 times yeah. in a row.
Cool.
Anytime I listen to it, I have to listen to it again.
And we'll play it faster each time, so that's good. So, yeah, if you guys are interested, you could go to astronoid.bandcamp.com. Bandcocks. Hetfield and Hetfield. bandcamp.com and we have you know Facebook pages and Twitters and whatever you guys prefer for social media so yeah come check it out if you like it cool if you don't that's cool there's a bunch of shit I don't like either and of course this podcast too it feels good like if I'm not creating something I feel very anxious
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I'm missing something I feel like I constantly want to be in a state of creation and I'm like in 2014, I want to create like a lot of things.
Cool.
So let's keep the podcast going.
Please.
Astronoid's going to release a full-length record this year. Hetfield and Hetfield will release music this year. And I'm definitely going to release... I've gone back and forth like with my solo stuff, and I put that in quotes because there's no way not to sound like an asshole. I think I'm going to do it home recording. So, A, I learn how to record, and if it sounds shitty, it's no one's fault but me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably give it to Brett to, like, mix or master.
Cool.
But I want to release probably, like, little songs here and there. I just constantly want to be releasing things.
Yeah, of course.
But speaking of that, I kind of want to talk about Super Stoker, because we never have.
Right on. So, ask away.
So, Matt's in a band called Super Stoker, which loosely can be categorized as pop punk. You would agree with that, right?
Of course.
But when we talk about pop punk, we definitely don't mean it in like the new school way. And I hate that there's even new school and old school because that it makes me feel old.
Mm-hmm.
But B, it creates this divide that I don't really necessarily think needs to be in music because we all play it and we all listen to it for the same reason because it fucking gets us there, you know? Shouldn't necessarily be a competition or anything like that. That being said, when I say pop punk, in as it pertains to you guys, Super Stoker, I very much mean it in the, you know, skate punk, like, mm-hmm. 90s, early 2000s way of, like say, like, a Lagwagon or a Lawrence Arms or, like, a Teenage Bottle Rocket mm-hmm. or, like, like, there's a humor and a fun to your music, but it's also so fucking good. which I think is completely missing in whatever it is that the new pop punk world is. Like, mm-hmm. it's not, there's no humor. Like, I think, like, it's taken too seriously, which for me, that was like the reason why Blink-182 could be like so meaningful to me is that, yeah, you can write a song about literally fucking a dog in the ass, but then you could like break my heart with a song like next track.
Yeah.
And you didn't even blink an eye because it just, it worked. I think you guys definitely have, I have like visions of you guys being the biggest band in the world in like my head. It's funny.
That's cool.
One thing I definitely want to talk about, because like maybe for the listeners, because I assume it's the same demographic as like us, is you guys released a little logo, and it's a Super Soaker, but it says Super Stoker Offend Pop Punk.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, and I know you guys are just like, oh, that's funny. I think it's such a bold statement, because with all these bands, and I forget who started it, but it's like the Defend Pop Punk movement.
It's Man Overboard.
Who fucking needs to defend pop punk? Pop punk doesn't need defending.
Yeah.
It'll come, it'll go. The bands have already had their success. Like, who's like was there a committee meeting where someone was like, pop punk stinks, and they were like, no,
we declare pop punk
offended.
Yeah, offend, yeah.
It
offend.
Needs defend. Take up your swords, yeah. gentlemen. Pop punk must be saved. So, I mean, and maybe it does, but I feel like saying something like, yeah, I think pop punk needs to be offended. I think it does. You know, I think it needs. I think like people need to stop taking that. Like, you can take the music seriously, but like have some fun. And it doesn't sound like any of these songs, like in the, again, in air quotes, new pop punk world are fun. And every time I listen to Super Stoker, the EP that I have, I'll take all the CDs out of my 6 CD changer and just put it on one. So once it finishes, it instantly starts over again.
That's awesome.
Like 100, like what is it? So it's probably 7 minutes long. And I will go on hour-long car rides, and so I listen to it 8 or 9, 10 times in a row, like
awesome.
In just one whack. And I've heard the full length, which you played me the other day, which is amazing, and I cannot wait for it to come out. I honestly think, and this isn't just blowing smoke up your ass, because there's no reason for me to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know this probably isn't going to happen, because I know that just geographically speaking, or you guys all have like different things going on in your lives. If you guys gave it a serious push and anyone were to back it, like some sort of label, it would explode.
That's cool.
That's my feeling. And I can't wait for anyone listening to hear it too, because it's phenomenal. And they did a really, really good job on it. The songwriting is just there, you know?
Well, let me speak on some of those things.
Please do.
Obviously, us being a 3-piece, I can only speak, well, I think I can speak on all of our behalfs. First of all, 3 best friends. That's why I said I like collaborative music, because I feel like I get my juices flowing when I'm around my friends for anything. The whole Man Overboard thing with the Defend Pop Punk, I'm not going to pretend that we meant anything more by it than just to be funny, but I really think it does, not like a statement, but what pop punk is, in quotes today, I do not like.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. And to be honest, what's the band? Megan, what's the band that we like a bunch of the songs off that CD? And you love number 10, the slow one?
Is it the Wonder Years?
No, not Wonder Years. Story, yeah, the Story So Far.
Oh, okay. My God, dude. They rule.
Okay, well, here's my issue with that is...
I thought they were a metal band until like 2 weeks ago when I listened to them.
Oh, shit. So Story So Far, their first full-length CD, which I forget the name, to be honest, I loved, because fast drums, fast guitars, everything was locked in super tight, and that guy's voice is so fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I love his voice so much. What I don't like with like the Wonder Years and Story So Far and stuff like that is the music. While it is for me, and I know for you, an outlet for emotion, it's just all bad vibes and anger, which I don't like really need any more of. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's shit.
That's a super valid point but here's my thing too, is like, I'm not saying that I don't have a little bit of angst in me, but
yeah,
I'm not a teenager like raging against the world anymore.
Of course, yeah.
And I know it'll grow out of it, but the thing is, the dudes that are writing these songs are like, older than us right now.
And they're still...
And it just blows me away how you're... How can you, like, talk about like being depressed and like eating Lucky Charms in your mother's basement or something.
First of all, that sounds
ruining.
Yeah. I just think for us, the whole offend pop punk is exactly that. Like, it needs to be thrown on its ass a little bit, because something that I can take pride in is I have not heard a band like us. Now, keep in mind, we in some ways are cookie cutter, built right out of our favorite bands because we love them. Let's make our music an ode to all of them.
But that's like what you're by. There's where you get in trouble is like the pretentiousness of it. So if you were to sound like that and be like, no, man, this is totally original, when it's like, it's not, because it's chord progressions you've heard 1 million times.
Yeah,
but you guys make it through the vibe and like the words, and it's so fucking new and fresh.
Which I will
say. And the thing that you guys do at the end of every song is like, that is like, it's, yes, is it gimmicky? Yes. Is it hilarious? Yes. But does it still rule? 100%.
Cool.
I mean, like, I have never heard a band do that.
we don't, you said it perfectly. I take playing, is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I take playing music seriously. I take writing music seriously, but I don't take the band and our message seriously.
You're not trying to change the
all.
World.
No, because we're not. Me, Matty D, who is like
Budweiser man.
Yeah, he's huge. And then Kenny, the caveman. Like, we're not going to change anything except like the moods of our friends, and that's all I want to do. And hearing you say that makes me feel so good, because there are few opinions that I value a lot, and I know how passionate you are about, like we say it kind of loosely and hide behind it, but like pop punk, I love pop punk music, and I just like to play simple shit. I personally don't think I'm an extremely good drummer. It makes me feel good when everyone's like, oh, Matt, that's like fucking awesome. You rule. But I play simple shit because I know it goes along with the music that I'm having fun with. My one thing that I think is kind of funny about Super Stoker, and I know, Casey, you know this very well, is a lot of our songs are about getting fucking wasted and like raped by women and like literally and shit like that. And I do not drink alcohol ever. Yet I'm like, they're like, yeah.
Drinking beers. Drank last night. Drank today. Drank this morning. Gonna drink tomorrow. Rules.
It's just like, what I like about it is it's super relatable. I like the fact that 14-year-olds are going to love our music if they ever get the chance to listen to it. Girls are going to love our music. Guys are going to love our music. We're not making it.
Aliens will love.
They will loved this musicing. they're not. We're not making shit for like. That's the thing. I don't think we've never thought about like who we're making this for. We're just making it because it's
that's
the music.
Then you have the right thoughts.
That's it. We have a CD, our first CD, and to be honest, our last for a long goddamn time, because Kenny, love you to death, he's out in Utah living the dream with his beautiful girlfriend, Hillary. So super happy for him, but we're releasing a CD. We're going to push it actually back to my birthday.
Oh, no shit.
To St. Patrick's Day, but Greatest Hits is the name of this CD with a Z at the end, because Z's rule.
Z's
gimmicks galore.
Z's rules.
But yeah, it's 14 songs. I'll tell you if you don't mind, which you will say always. I can tell you anything. I actually was going through a bit of an issue with Matty D today. Matty D is our singer. And it was, what the hell are we going to do?
For the cover art?
No, with News Anchor and Snaggletooth.
Oh my God.
And the reason is, if anyone doesn't know, which is 98% of you,
everyone listening right
or
now.
If you're just our friends, which is probably true, only our friends, then you know what I'm talking about. Brett Boland, the kind of mastermind behind Astronoid, he's incredible at music. Music production, music engineering, everything like that. He recorded and edited and mastered and just produced the whole Super Stoker EP that we had, which was News Anchor, Snaggletooth, and then Gonorrhea Cool Ass Song, which my personal favorite. The songs came out incredible, but he deserved every penny and probably deserved to get paid a little bit more just because of his professionalism. It's just we didn't have the money, so we had to seek other options. And we recorded with this man, or this kid, Steve, from... Oh, shit. I forget the name. Love you. You're great.
Actually, it's funny. That dude went to school with Brett.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's cool because Brett also, when he found out about Steve... Kennedy Studios. But yeah, when I found out they knew each other, made things a little bit more comfortable about the whole, what are we going to do with this? But we recorded 12 songs, which sounds like a lot. Some of them are literally 12 seconds long. And we were like, okay, well, we want News Anchor and Snaggletooth to be on this full length, but they sound rather different because two different engineers produced the music. Obviously, I'd like to say in the best way possible, because this is what Brett and I kind of wanted, or all of Super Stoker wanted, was News Anchor and Snaggletooth and that EP has a very high production value in regards to not being overproduced, but it's shit is locked in. Drums sound like gunshots, which I wanted. God, I was so pumped. Yeah, it's awesome. But this other CD is a little bit sloppier in not a good engineer way. Like, he's amazing. And just it's a little bit more natural and gritty, I guess I'd say. But when we kind of throw in those songs in the mix, which I used your advice to just who gives a shit, just throw them in there. Everyone's going to like the songs. Just do it. Matty D is just not. He's a little bummed about it. So we got some feedback. Either A, two bonus tracks, which I didn't like. And the reason being is our last song, Wet Your Goals, is the greatest goddamn song of all time.
Dude.
I am going to be pretentious and say that the song is the greatest song ever written. It needs to
you
end.
Guys, oh my God. I didn't know what the name of it was.
Wet Your Goals,
that's so good. See, again, making fun of pop punk. Amazing.
It needs to end that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what we're going to do is... Evan Lord actually was like, hey, how about this idea? Sandwich it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, first song and last song with the two songs that recorded. And I was like, nah, well, we have an intro and an outro. And he said, okay, so just squeeze them in a little bit. So we're going to do first song is the intro, Nartro. And then we're going to do News Anchor.
No shit.
And then we're going to not end with Snaggletooth, but we're just going to throw that in. Actually, we're going to leave that exactly where it is. But I think to open...
When we were listening through like a week or what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, when we went to Faux.
When we went out to eat, I thought that the first track should have been News Anchor.
That's exactly what we're going to do. I said, and Matt actually doesn't like that song anymore. And I'm like, Matt, that is literally one of the best things that you've ever creatively come up with because it's so fun.
Well, here's the thing. It's the fact that it's a true story and it sounds so like, oh my God. I think he's crazy if that doesn't go on the record, and that's just me from a fan and a very analytical band standpoint. I understand where he's coming from. The songs are old. Maybe he thinks the new songs are better, which is great. And it's so hard to be objective because it's like you've sat with that for so long. So like
exactly,
maybe he doesn't think it represents or whatever. But like, I think it would be a big mistake if those songs weren't on the record.
Which I think he's at ease at this point and. We're going to do that. I think we're going to do exactly that. To open the main girth of the CD with News Anchor, which is, like I said, just a punch in the face. I love it. So I'm really excited. I miss them both. I'm happy that musically, and I know you know this, but in a selfish way to hear myself lending my skills to a CD that I genuinely think is good and in no way pretentious because I know when the shit we write is bad and I'm just so happy that through just having fun, honestly, some of our songs were just like, let's write about being men. And we wrote a song and it's one of my favorite songs because
that
I don't
man
care.
Song, our best day ever.
Yeah, Man Day.
Yeah, Man Day.
Which James Hill has some gnar guest vocals in there, which is awesome. It's just fun. I like having fun. I don't want to take music seriously because I don't take too many things seriously in life. And when I want to be emotional, I listen to like emotional stuff. But I want to
Skyrim soundtrack.
Yeah, I will cry. I'm glad we talked about that. Just so everyone knows, St. Patrick's Day, superstoker.bandcamp.com. All that's up there is our EP right now. I hope you guys listen. I hope you like it because it would be great. And if anyone's listening that hasn't gotten their perks yet for our little crowdfunded thing that we did, I promise you, you're going to get it. I will say we've been a little lackadaisical on that stuff, but I promise you we have everything there. So what I wanted to say real quick, because it happened to me this morning, was, and I'd like to talk about this at some point,
yeah, yeah.
but some of the, just a sneak peek, I stopped listening to music, I stopped listening to podcasts, and really stopped enjoying video games and TV for about 3 months. And the reason being is, and I will give 100% credit to Megan, my girlfriend, reading has become, I'm not good at it, but it has become such an awesome way to just relax. Mm-hmm. And just do the shit I love, dude. All of my books, high fantasy, crazy, crazy stuff, which I don't really want to get into right now because there's a whole point to this. And it's the fact that finally today, because I no longer have an audiobook and still didn't really feel like listening to any podcast, I put on Mist by Protest the Hero, and I cried in the car. Dude, I'm not kidding. Right at the part, and you know exactly what part I'm talking about, the anthem at the end. And I didn't feel emotions coming at all. And I was literally air drumming. And when a car was by, I just like air drum a little softer. I was no hands on the wheel, just pretending that I was a part of the band and shit. And the second that note hits, I just got that feeling where my face was like bloated with just like emotion and tears. And I just started crying. I was like, I love music so much. And I was like, man, I better wipe this mascara off my face.
That's such a brutal. That's fucking awesome. I did kind of the same thing. I feel like, you know, me and Matt had a couple of podcasts and they're really successful for all intents and purposes. We let the fame get to our head. We started doing cocaine and we had to jump off the scene for a little bit. So honestly, I haven't fucking listened to podcasts in so long either.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like a podcast fiend. I was ripping through them. Some of my favorite, obviously the top five are Death, the buddies over there, which did you guys listen to the episode with me on it? And then we won. So that's like a huge win for us.
Yeah, we ruling. Won. Camp so, Super Show wins.
Yeah, the Camp Super
we
Show
are superior.
Won. Yeah, we beat the top five of Death. So that ruling. Also, a couple of podcasts that I really like, if you guys are into podcasts, and I'm assuming that you're listening to this because you like podcasts and not us, the WTF with Mark Maron is obviously amazing. So if you guys, if you don't know who he has like awesome guests and it's like just a great show. He's a funny guy and he's actually doing really well now, and he wasn't really when the podcast started. So that's interesting
that's
to
awesome.
See. And also
because of the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep. Obviously, check out Top 5 Death. They're still doing their thing. Still hilarious as ever. And my favorite podcast right now, which I listen to probably 40 or 50 episodes within the last like 2 or 3 weeks, which is like an absurd amount of time, is Nothing to Write Home About, who is that podcast is by the frontman of the Get Up Kids, Matt Pryor. And he has like the best guests, and I'm obsessed with it. So check out those podcasts. Sorry, quick aside.
That's awesome.
So crying in the car rules.
Dude, I mean, it just, there's, I can't even number them. There's few things like personally outside of relationships that like I love. And I'm a very unique person in regards to, silly as it sounds, like even, well, even for you, like the way I look and act can differ, and then like the shit I like is just so like, I remember in school people would be like, hey man, you got some like weed on you? because I'd show up to class in a gross tank top in super short gym shorts that I woke up in, and I said, I don't want to look good for anyone, I don't care. So I'd show them, kids would be like, dude, you like smoke? You smoke weed? You want weed? And I'm like, no. They're like, you got like a butt? You got a butt for me? I was like, the fuck is that? What is that? I got one ass.
Get
out of mine.
Yes, I have one ass, and you can't butt it. I don't know what that means.
Yo, man,
you can't bum my ass.
Like, what is it? So, music is one of them. It's a huge emotional outlet for me, whether it's just super happy or crying during the most typical four chord progression in a Sum 41 song, I will cry because I'm like, this is so fucking magnified. Or like
Sum 41 rules.
Sum 41's awesome. Just movies and shit. I don't know. I've been super stressed lately a little bit. I told you about that. I told Megan about that. And I'm just
kind of,
well, I'm pumped to be like doing this right now because this is an outlet for me that I love doing. So, I had some stuff about music and in general that I wanted to talk about.
I don't, if it's all right with the audience, what do you guys think?
What do you, well? Oh yeah, wait. Two things. One, fuck me.
Two, fuck. Yeah, fuck me. Okay.
Cool.
Dead. Yeah. Okay. Two things. Okay. Ready. Okay. All right. Good night.
So, I know we wanted to talk about like music and probably like releases and stuff or like favorites of like 2013, stuff like that. I wanted to, and I wanted to make sure that I bounced back to your solo shit that you did a little bit because of this, but I have always respected and enjoyed the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
But I can literally not say any more than that. I've never listened to a full CD. I've never wanted to buy a full CD. I never cared at all.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl, yeah, he's the man. All I knew, all I cared about. Nirvana, didn't care. I feel like I was presented with two CDs when I was a kid. Nirvana, Nevermind, or the Offspring Smash. From my brother.
You chose Smash.
I chose Smash. I was like, cool, skeleton on front. Cool.
Skeleton, man.
Wait, baby with pee-pee in water. Like, weird. Help. Fuck me. so fucked up. I was lent by a man the DVD, well, the Blu-ray of Back and Forth.
Yep.
And honestly,
for those of you who don't know, it's the documentary of the Foo Fighters making the Wasting Light record.
Exactly. Quite honestly, it plateaued at that, or that was the climax of the whole thing. But it was through the whole journey of Nirvana. How am I not thinking of his name?
Kurt Cobain.
Oh shit. So, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, brother.
Rest in peace, my friend. his death, how, like, he died, and I was like, oh, a rock star died.
Yeah.
And then to see how it affected Dave Grohl and how it still affects Dave Grohl, and how, for someone who's so passionate in music like yourself, to say, I don't want to do this anymore, and put everything that you love, and probably the only thing you're good at, away, and say, like, I don't have anything left, is so depressing. And to watch him build back up, he played every instrument like Brett on their first Foo Fighters album. So many people don't know that. And just like, I have so much respect. Their music is so awesome. It's so powerful. They don't take themselves seriously, but they take their music seriously. Their thing is stupid ass music videos for their awesome and sometimes emotional music or songs.
Yeah.
And just to hear that, I know, like, James is a huge fan of Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl, and I was just like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But out of respect for my friends and for them, let me try.
Sure.
And to watch it, I watched it twice within 48 hours, one with Al, and Al and I look for anything and everything to, like, have brother moments and just go, ah! And just, like, high five and hug. And we did that the whole fucking movie because it's amazing in Brothers Rule.
Brothers Rule.
How did you feel?
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched it a really long time ago, so I'm like, because I'm getting parts of Sound City and that mixed up, I'm sure. But I remember the day Sound City came out, I rented it like on iTunes just because it was like snowing.
Which I also watched.
Yeah. He's a fascinating guy for me, and I know it's cliche to see like Dave Grohl's the man. Like, check out his Fresh Pots video. That's all you need to know. YouTube.com/Fresh Pots. Just do it. I have a bit of the opposite story where I always liked Nirvana and I never, like, I always liked the idea of the Foo Fighters better than the actual band because like, oh, Dave Grohl rules. And then I slowly got, like, started getting into the records, and there's definitely this thing where sometimes their songs are better than their records are.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Color and the Shape and the first self-titled are amazing. I also like, fuck, the double disc one that's really good. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Is that
now.
The one with the... Was it
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I know there was one where... I don't know if they did this on record, actually, where one was like an acoustic, like,
yep,
softer...
That's it. That's
okay.
The one.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that one. And, of course, Wasting Light. So I like all their fucking records, but some of them just... I get what you just mean. Like, their songs were
the
bigger
highlight
than their
are
record.
The songs.
Exactly, like the singles or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's a fascinating guy for me. I mean, if I could... I love my life, and I really wouldn't trade it, but if someone was like, do you want to be Dave Grohl for a little while, I would not say no. That's all mm-hmm. I'm saying.
Well, remember when he was at Wembley Stadium, and after playing Best of You, he was just crying? Like, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
It's his favorite thing in the world. He has gone so far doing what he loves, and, like, right... It's weird. It's almost, like, right there he realized, like, holy shit. Like, I'm here right now, and all these people are like...
Well, when 80,000 people were singing with you, yeah, that must
oh
suck.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yeah, that
fucking
stinks.
Crazy.
Oh,
crazy
man.
Life. No, that's cool. They actually just announced the other day that after their two-day hiatus, they're already done with their next record. So
oh, cool.
That's going to roll.
Yeah, dude, people were trembling for after that one, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I said I want to make sure I bring something up is I remember when you, not skeptically, but you were, I want to speak on your behalf,
just I'm here.
A
you
tiny
can speak.
Bit nervous about your solo thing. Not so much. I just
yeah,
know
yeah,
you were
yeah,
like,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Matt, like, can you check this out? A, once again, made me feel really good because you're like, I have not showed a goddamn person this yet, so
yeah.
Please don't show anyone. And you showed me once again. I was like, brothers, rule. You showed it to me. And honestly, at first when I heard it, I was like, this is amazing. But like.
What's the name of this album? Bath Blaster. One, two, three, four.
What?
Huh? Cool.
Gonna blast. One, two, three. Gonna take a fucking bath. Gonna have a fucking blast. Gonna take a fucking bath tonight. Gonna have a fucking blast. Gonna take a fucking bath. Gonna have a fucking blast tonight. Gonna take a fucking bath. Gonna have a fucking blast. Gonna take a fucking blast tonight. Yeah. Meow, meow, meow. Yeah. Gonna rink a ticka ting ting.
Wanna say? Gonna rink a ticka train.
Hey, Doug! You think you are my father, but you are just a troll. Doug, you think that you're a man. You treat my mom like shit, and you're not a man at all. You don't even have $10 to give to your son. I want $10. I need you to treat me well. You don't treat me at all. Will you just get me ice cream? I want ice cream. I want some ice cream right now. I want ice cream right now. Please, hey Doug, I want some fucking ice cream. I want some ice cream now. You don't treat me at all. Hey Doug, where are you now? 1, 2, 3. Wait, one. Well, I won't be nice because Kevin's mean. He treats my girlfriend like meat. Meat is real good, but it's not good when it's troll meat. Troll meat sucks. Doug, 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 Doug rules. Wait, this song is ruling. Oh. Doug. Doug is troll. One.
Troll is
two.
Dad.
Oh, yeah. Troll is dad. Dad is Doug. Two. 1, 2, 3, 4, Doug. You're the worst father. You treated me like shit, and so you did my mother. You made me. I feel like I have troll blood, and I hate myself for it. When I go to the Red Cross, they turn me around, and they say that you're the worst. You have type T blood. T stands for troll. I'm not a troll. I don't want to be a troll, but I'm just like my father. Father like son, I don't wanna be your son. You're the worst fucking father. You're the worst fucking father. You're the worst fucking father ever. I hate you, dick. Go, Casey, go. Yeah. Doug. Where's your lyrics tonight? This song rules. Best Friends for Life. I was like, vocals are weird. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that is just like, it wasn't what I expected.
Sure.
Because I've heard you before in, I'd say primarily Hetfield and Hetfield. And your strong, strong ass, like belting vocals and stuff like that, which is like, I think, at least from my experience, something that you did a lot. And then touching that soft point, yeah. Like on that, you said to me, you're like, I did not touch auto-tune, any of that shit. Like you just, it was raw. And you know my experience with that. I'm like, I guess I kind of like produced music a little bit more. Yeah. It sounds a little bit tighter to me. But I loved it because I was like, wait, that's my friend singing.
Yeah.
That is my friend on his own, no one holding his hand. Brett's not helping him out. That's him singing. And then after watching Sound City, and after watching that, I went back and listened again. I was like, this is so goddamn good because that's like my friend being human, making mistakes, and not giving a shit because that's what's coming, like as silly as it sounds, from the heart, I guess.
Yeah, that, I mean, obviously I didn't play shows that are really even promote it because I think that I wanted to get it out there because a lot of it was like stuff that I had written a while ago and then some of it was new and I just wanted to put it out there as just to be like, okay, just get that one out of the way because I think that, and I mean, I guess ultimately I'm not 100% satisfied with it because I don't think all the songs are like great songs. I think mm-hmm. there's a couple of songs that I really, really love on it. Mm-hmm. But it's like I knew it was going to be super hard for me because I'm like super nervous about things I do.
Yeah.
And I knew if I didn't do it, then I wouldn't like, you know what I mean? It made me feel uncomfortable, and I live in a weird world where I like feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm insane,
dude. That's awesome.
So I don't love it, but it's thank you for that feedback.
No, it's just cool, and like hearing him say that, I was like, shit. Maybe like if I hit the snare drum wrong, maybe I shan't ask for him to just copy and paste a better one in there. That's how I.
Yeah, I mean, there's. And you said it best because I'm definitely among that a mindset where for me I rather hear the human elements in music, and I rather get in a room and do something live rather than
absolutely.
Overdub everything. But you know, I'm friends with a bunch of sound engineers, and there's some guys that are into that, but most people want it to be calculated because it's a science. You know, they get like that's where they find the enjoyment of doing that kind of stuff. So it's always weird to have both perspectives. But yeah, I'm more among the play it a couple of times, choose the best one, even if it's not perfect. But I've been in both situations, so I don't know.
Right on.
I think that was like the fact that nothing touched a computer until like mastering, or I mean, they mastered on board too, but
mm-hmm.
Literally it was the least digital possible. And it was cool when you first bought the CD, they cut up the tape, the 2-inch tape,
mm-hmm.
and everyone had a piece of the record that they recorded it on. When you open the CD, there was a piece of the record, the tape.
Oh shit.
Yeah, they cut it all up and everyone got a piece of the record, which is fucking cool.
That really is cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, going away from that, music in general. I know you really wanted to talk about this, so please, because I am not prepared. Go on.
No, I just things coming out and things that happened this year. I know it's a little late now, but if I would love to see you guys post your lists of your favorite and now most anticipated records of 2014, but your best from 2013 just right on our wall. I love talking about that shit, and sometimes I find something new. So my list is, I can post it up there if you guys want to see it. If you go to americanaftermath.net, they posted my year-end list there. They published it up there. Things I'm looking for, I mean, obviously there's a million records that should come out this year that I'm like super stoked on. This month, though, just in general, Against Me has a new record coming out, which I don't know if you love them, but that's going to be awesome. It's their first record as their front man, now turned front woman, went through.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
She I don't know the correct terminology, but she made the transition from a man to a woman, which is awesome. And I can't wait to hear what the record, how that impacts the record, because art only is awesome through suffering and ambiguity. So I'm sure the record's going to be fucking awesome. And then, you know, it's just that we don't have to like get into it, but the Mastodon record is coming out this year. And that, well, I will tell you, is going to be fucking just riff city.
Dude,
and I
still
love those guys.
Still have yet to listen to a single Mastodon record.
That's because we're friends, man.
What? Huh?
Yeah, I know it was a joke because you're a dick.
Oh shit! Cool.
No, but yeah, dude. I don't know. Music rules, man. We could talk about this all fucking night.
Well, can we talk about the release of the protest city that we were talking up? That it was going
please
to come out.
Take it away, man.
Volition came out, changed my life. Go on, Casey.
Well, that's interesting that you said that, because like when it came out, you're like, I don't like it.
Yeah, oh shit. No, so listening, playing a video game, watching a movie, listening to a CD, especially if I want it to have a certain emotional impact on me, needs to happen at the perfect time.
Right.
Not to stray.
Music, especially. I think that's the like the most true for music, though. At least in my world.
So what do you mean? Like, give me an example. Because like, I want to see if we're on the
you
same
You definitely
page.
Need to be in the right mind. Like, if you want to read a book, like, you can't just go snort a bunch of cocaine and then go fucking read. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. If you don't feel like diving into, like, Demon Souls, like, in the like on a summer day when it's, like, wicked nice out,
it's
like,
just not
probably
happen.
Not the best time to play Demon Souls. Yep. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, if I'm not feeling Demon Souls, like, I could coax myself into it. Or if, like, this book, like, you know you got to read a little before you get to the good parts. Like, you have to build yourself up to
of
that.
Course,
so
of course.
I think that, like, your mood and your feeling don't necessarily dictate what's a good, like, what experience you have with a movie or a book or, like, a video game. But
yeah.
For music, I think it's most true that your mood will either enhance or detract from it.
Well, for something that you've been waiting for so long, to me, I kind of see it like a make or break situation.
Right.
Because when Protests Scurrilous came out, which there's just something special about that CD for me, just like time of life that came out. But the second that CD came out, I got the CD, I lied in my bed, turned off all the lights, kept my eyes open the whole time because I was like, I will fall asleep just because that's what I do.
The boringest hour of my life.
So I kept my eyes open and I just listened to the whole CD and did not move. And I was like, that may have been one of the best hours of my life. Now, knowing that it was so surreal and awesome for me, I was like, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, Protest CD was coming out the 28th of October or November. It was coming out one of those days, and what actually happened was...
Oh, that's the Scurrilous poster.
Shit. Oh,
I thought that was the Volition poster, yeah.
Oh, shit. The CD was coming out in a couple of weeks, and I got an email. Now...
Oh, yeah.
I need 8 hours of sleep a night just because I get cranky. 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I just need it. It's like a mental thing for me because I'm sure I could survive on 6. Knowing that I got 6, I'm going to be very angry. So at like it was 12:30 and I had work at 8 and I was like, shit, I already knew. I'm like, tomorrow's going to suck.
You're already only at 6 hours of sleep. Do you do the math when you go to sleep?
Absolutely.
I always do math when I'm sleeping. If I'm like, all right, if I set my alarm here, then I can do my sleep. I'll sleep my alarm twice, so that's an extra half an hour, but it's not fall asleep, and I'd always do math. Always doing sleep math.
Of course. Well, I looked at there, and I like did my division and calculus, and I was like, well, I'm not getting what I need tonight, so I was already angry. Refreshed my mail once on my laptop, and there was a campaign update from protests. I was like, huh? So I took a look, and it was like, hey, so we're bummed, but some assholes leaked our shit, and if they're going to leak our shit that you guys funded, we want you to hear it the right way. So they said, for anyone who donated, we're giving you the full CD right now. And I went, for a split second, I was like, oh, man, I want it to come out. Forget it. Cool, yeah. So I
all right.
The worst part was, like you, when you got Zelda, you're like, I'm going to play this for 3 hours when I get home and then go to sleep for a half hour, wake up and shower.
Yeah, I did the math that night.
So I downloaded the CD and I was like, I have to listen to this right now, but I have to listen to the whole thing. But keep in mind, I am pissed that I'm not getting my 8 hours of sleep. So I was honestly angry that it came out because I was like, I got to listen to this right now. So I listened to it, and I told you the next day I was so bummed. I almost didn't want to say anything because I was like, no, I'll psych myself into liking it. I did not like it at all. And I was like, no, every song sounds the same. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I was so bummed. And I was like, shit. And I didn't want to tell you because I was like, no, he thinks I'm going to like it. So I have to. And I was just so bummed. And I was like, Casey, I don't know if I like it. And I was so upset. And the more and more I listened to it, and I'm so happy. Something that made me so happy was that you ended up liking it a lot. James ended up liking it a lot. I know you were going to love it from the beginning. I'm pointing at James Hill. Brett ended up liking it after being a piece of shit for like a solid couple of weeks. And then my roommate loves the CD, so I have someone at all points in my day to listen to the tracks on it. But what do you think about the CD?
It's good. I think it's better than Scurrilous. I'm sorry to say that.
No, that's okay.
But like honestly, when we were at Nara apartment across the street and you're like, dude, you need to listen to this song. You put on Mist. I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
That is like, I think that's the best song they ever wrote.
Yep.
And to me, like you said this thing, which I think is true for all CDs. And I love that you said this. And I think this is like a fantastic concept where if you don't love a song, but you find that one part in a song that you look forward to as your favorite part, mm-hmm. and that becomes that's your anchor in the song, and then the whole song becomes about that one part or
yep.
that one chorus, that one riff, that one drum fill, then you find love like in the song. Like mm-hmm. you end up and if you do that to every song, you get a fucking banger CD.
Yeah.
So I started doing that for that CD just because you had mentioned it. And it's like a lot of fun to listen to that CD now.
Right.
And then when Mist comes on, it's like, I just like the way that the CD starts too, just the chords they use and that like,
down, 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 down,
down, down, down, down, dude, it's like, it already sounds, and of course, once you get into the CD, it is very protesty.
Yeah.
But just like little changes like that. It's like what we were talking about Zelda. You don't have to redefine everything you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But like do like little things like that, and like the song Mist like is it just feels so different for them, but yet it's so protest, and that's like the kind of song that you need to like turn.
And that's the thing
around.
Is a band like that, a band
and,
like,
and honestly, not that Chris Adler doesn't rule, and obviously he's very well known for his Lamb of God drums, and he's like a very well respected drummer.
Yeah,
I always get nervous when like a member like Mo leaves because it was like. Maybe he's not the best drummer in the world, but he was Protest's mm-hmm. drummer, where he just fits them so perfectly. So
yeah.
I was definitely apprehensive about that.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too. I was like, I heard it, and I was, Megan, my girlfriend, loves so many songs off Scarless, which is awesome, because I'm like, dude, my girlfriend likes a metal CD, this rules. But isn't as much of a fan of this CD, well, which I'm like, I totally get it. Like, it's Protest the Hero, they're psychos. But Chris Adler playing drums, even though he's insane, I actually, when I was like, Chris Adler's playing, once again, I'm not good with names. I don't know too much of the people within the culture of music. When I listen to him play, I'm like, he's not, like, I don't think he's that good. He's just very internal clock, tempo-driven, like, calculus dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't necessarily like that. And then he just destroys on this CD so hard, and like at first I didn't like it because it wasn't Mo, and then I was just like, it's just such a good CD, dude. It's awesome.
I agree. Cool. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad it turned around on you too, because there's nothing for me. It's like two things bum me out. If a CD is so fucking good, but it's so short, and I know I've waited so long to listen to a record, I want to die, because I'm like, all right, when's the next one coming out? And you know it's going to be like 3 years, which
yep.
sucks.
3 years to make another 20 minutes.
Exactly. And then even worse, when your favorite band makes like the best record and you get so psyched up, and then you're like, don't know if you like it. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh God, what a crushing feeling. For me, it's like, I know it's like, it seems like pathetic, but music for me, like I live and die by it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it either makes my world the best or it drags me down into like the depths of like sewer land.
Of ice hell?
Of ice fire hell.
Of ghoul gruel.
Ghoul, troll, goblin, gruel, grueled.
Do you know Billy Talent?
Yeah.
So Billy Talent, love Billy Talent. Billy Talent 1 and 2, some, I would say at least within top 10 favorite bands is Billy Talent based off those two CDs because they're so good. His voice is incredible and his like banshee scream that you would be able to pick out from anyone.
They're,
you'd be like,
they're,
I know
they're one
is.
Of the more unique bands I've ever heard.
So Billy Talent 1, there's Billy Talent 2, and then there's Billy Talent 3. I have never been more let down by a CD in my life. Mm-hmm. He does not scream once. Remember, that's their thing. That's his like, that's his sound. Doesn't do it once. The music became very like just like weird southern rock and like had like a political message. And I was like, God, which Red Flag from Billy Talent 2, very political song, but I just, it just, I was so upset. My brother's like, no, Matt, there are parts that are rule. And I'm like, that's like you said, it was
something
there are
didn't
songs.
Smelled right.
Yeah, it was just, it was based around a couple of songs that were good and not an album that was good. So
yeah,
there's my little tantrum on that.
I can't even think about the last record that I was so disappointed at. I'm sure it'll come to me.
But well, what about Scarless when I talked that up? And I know you just like, it just doesn't hit you.
No, but I wasn't expecting it, so it didn't really bother me that it wasn't like my favorite CD.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I wasn't waiting for that CD.
Okay,
for, like,
I see what you mean. You weren't building up for that moment and then crushed right then and there.
Right.
Yeah, I guess not. For Billy Talent's the last thing I can really think of, but
Reliant K? Megan just said Reliant K, Sadie Hawkins dance. Song ruled.
No.
Next.
College kids ruling. Well, good night.
Good night. Thanks, guys. no, there's going to be a lot of good music this year, and we could talk about it all night, or we could just do more podcasts where we talk about individual ones. So
yeah, of course.
That'd be cool. And don't forget, we have that Saves the Day CD to give away, so we'll find a way to do that for you. All right, so another band, because we totally skipped over this. Matt and I actually have a band, and it's called 9-Bit. And it's we were talking about humor and music, and there's no lack of that in this. We
or,
actually
or there is a
no
lack
music
of
in there too. Yeah.
Complete lack.
It's three chord rock with the best lyrics of all time, the best vocal harmonies of all time.
Yep.
And it's really just the same progression. And either Matt or myself can play guitar.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. we recorded a couple of songs that I'm probably going to pepper in throughout these couple of podcasts, but. Talking about releasing things in 2014, I absolutely know for without a shadow of a doubt that 9-Bit, which is the name of our band, will release a record in 2014.
How many songs? Say it right now and it's going to happen.
I'd like at least 10.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm so pumped.
I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. If we finish Troll is Dad, the song that we started tonight.
No, wait. It was Troll is Dad, Dad is Doug.
Doug is Dad. Doug is Dad. If we finish that, we literally, like, we have 5 songs already.
And if we do so, we have a solid 10-minute EP with 10
with
songs.
With 10 songs, yeah.
Of course. Not even.
No, maybe, we, oh, wait, I think we talked about this before. We'll do 20 songs.
20 songs.
Like, because if they're going to be, like, really
and,
short.
And very short. And musically,
hey, but, like,
we don't need to come
being
up with
succinct,
chords.
Being succinct and just powerful isn't the way to go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, bang my bang.
Bang my bang. And actually, two of the songs are the same song with different lyrics.
No, the same lyric, just one's slightly more like autistic.
No, because it's just, it's one's fuck my bang. Oh, three. Then we have this, there's three.
Fuck my ass. And then there's bang my bang. Bang. Oh, man.
No,
you guys
then we have that,
take
that trout, shove it in my mouth. See, oh, yeah. Exactly. So we have three songs that are the same musically, three different sets of lyrics. We couldn't make up our mind. It was too good.
Yeah. Why make one when you can make fun?
Tell my mom I love her very much. And yeah. Ying yang, ying yang, ying yang, ying yang's rule.
Oh.
Ying yang's ruled. Cool.
Ying yang suck, dude.
That's why it rules.
Oh, that was funny. All right. So.
Yeah, like, you want to do a song right now?
Yeah, sure.
You guys want to hear a song?
Yeah, sure.
And I'm not talking to the people sitting.
Is this live?
This is live.
Let's do it live. Here, take it.
Where's the pick?
Oh, shit.
Here it is.
Which song are we doing?
We're going to do a live performance of a 9-bit classic.
Which one is this? Is it Fug Me?
No, which one do you want?
What? The Bath? Not the Bath song. That
the
one's
Bath. Yeah, we don't know that song.
Let's do Fug My Bung.
All right. Are you sure you want to do this song?
Let's do this song, and I'm going to back away. What song do you want to do?
I don't know.
This ruling.
This is such good radio, guys. Aren't you glad we took so long to come back? This fucking episode has been a mess.
We only took so long to prepare for this one.
And once you hear this song, which should really just—it like sounds like a symphony.
Yeah. Is it Fung Me?
Fung Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
What do you
ready? One, two.
Can we do? No matter which one we do, can we end it in the yin yangs? Because I think that's such a crucial.